Would like to invite you over to the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 19. Matthew 17, chapter 17, verse 19. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 reads this way. It says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove,'" listen to this, "'and nothing shall be impossible unto you.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word. We ask that you bless the meeting tonight, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Bless us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, again, that you might be honored and glorified, our lives blessed and empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is simply this: "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Is that a truth? Do we find that in the Bible, in the Word of God? Here's the question: do you believe that tonight? All right. Not only that, but listen, would you like to experience this truth in your life? Amen. Nothing. I didn't say it. If I said it, you'd be in trouble. Don't count on it. But Jesus said it. Amen. And he wants us to experience this in our life. So in order really for this truth to take place in our life, we have to understand how the Lord brings this to pass in and through our lives. Now, listen, the disciples were able to do some things for the honor and glory of the Lord. God did send them out before and they were able to do things, but all of a sudden they came to something that they were not able to do. The first right step that they made was found in verse 19. "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart," so while he was alone, "and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?'" Isn't that good? Listen, Lord, we've got a problem. It's not working. Why? You know, if you ask God questions, he'll give you answers. He wants to give us answers. He wants us to experience this. So they asked him this question, and Jesus made some important statements here. Notice in verse 20, "And Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" So, Lord, help me with my unbelief. You're going to see that God wants to honor and glorify himself by answering our prayers. Now, here's what happens. The truth is, I don't know that we really fully understand the power of prayer, because Jesus made a great emphasis on the importance of prayer. And he taught the disciples. In another place, the disciples said to the Lord, "Lord, teach us to pray like John's disciples," right? And then the Lord began to tell them how to pray. And many different times the Lord is explaining this because he wants this to be an important part of our life. Now, here's the thing though. It's like the farmer. So the farmer receives a harvest, right? Every year they receive some 60-fold, some 100. You know, sometimes it's better than others, right? But before they can receive the harvest, they do something prior to that. And what is that? They plant the seed. The farmer never says, "Well, you know, I'm going to have a harvest today and I'm not going to plant a thing." Well, guess what they're going to get? Nothing. They're not going to get a thing. And so likewise, the Lord says, you know, what we sow, we reap. And it can be on the positive side. And it is on the positive side. And so as we consider this tonight, the Lord is saying, because of your unbelief. So we can say with that other fellow, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe you want to work in my life. And I believe you want to answer my prayers." Do you believe that tonight, that God wants to answer our prayers? He says, "If you have a need, ask me." Isn't that what the Lord said? And so he didn't say that, "Well, just ask me so I can just step back and just watch you pray and not do anything." That's not his mind. Listen, if he asks us to pray, that means he wants to answer our prayers. And in fact, he says, "Call on me and I'll answer you." And so with that thought in mind, notice what happens here in verse 20. He says, in this particular case, he says, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, here's the thing. Listen.
We need to know what the will of God is. God, listen, and God will lead us into that and surprise us and show us some wonderful things, but we have to at least display the faith of a grain of mustard seed. I dare say God wants you and I to pray to Him how often? All right, all the time. But how about this? I would say God at least wants you and I to designate a time of the day, an every day, to meet and get alone with Him. Do you believe that? I mean, listen, Jesus made that example in the morning. Daniel had that in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. David did the same thing. And you'll find that the people of God that were experiencing things, did Paul say anything about prayer? Did he talk about the importance of his relationship with the Lord? Absolutely. And that came because he would communicate with the Lord. And you need to have faith when you get alone someplace. It's good to have a prayer closet, not necessarily a literal closet, but a place that you can go to and meet with the Lord on a daily basis. And by the way, listen, it's going to require some faith, and it's going to take a practice. It's going to take time and effort, like the Lord said, and we need to approach Him, and He sees us the first time we come to Him in prayer. But will you have the same faith? And will you be willing to labor? And will you be willing to battle the flesh? Will you be willing to battle the world? And will you allow the Spirit to guide you to spend some time alone with the Lord? And you designate that time. I would say 15 minutes would be at least a good starting point, and maybe strive for 30 minutes. And you get to where you need to be. If it's in a chair, if you have a little place where you want to kneel down, if it's in the backyard, wherever it is, that's your place that you're not going to be disturbed, that you're going to call upon the Lord and ask Him, Lord, show me how to pray. Lord, show me how to ask the things that you want me to ask for that are in your will. Let me know what you want. Listen, God wants to show Himself in our lives by answering our prayers. If you look at George Mueller's autobiography, he wrote it. That's right, autobiography. And so anyway, his whole ministry was, I'm not going to tell anybody what I need. I'm just going to ask the Lord. And the Lord answered. Listen, it's a small little autobiography, but it is amazing, written back in the 1800s during his time, of what the Lord did through that man. Why? Because he displayed some faith. This was time in the mid-1800s. I don't remember exactly where he was going. His ministry was in Bristol, England. He was German, of German descent, George Mueller. He had the orphanages there, and he was somewhere on a ship, and the fog had stopped the boat, all right, the ship. He was going somewhere. And the captain had sent the messenger to come to the captain's place. And anyway, the captain said, you're not going to make your appointment. He knew he had this appointment to make. He said, this fog is just stopped us at a dead standstill. And so anyway, he said, I'm going to pray. And the captain was like, what? You know, okay. He humored him. Let's pray. We'll pray. Well, anyway, guess what happened? The fog cleared. Now, listen, this wasn't his first time in prayer. But because he had a very active, a very vibrant prayer life, the Lord removed the fog. And the captain was beside himself, because he's seen this kind of fog before. And he said, this doesn't just happen. And George Mueller said, I know. he said, but you don't understand. This is like almost a miracle. I know. See, he had faith. He had developed. Listen, this man had no food in the cupboards. He had people that were just as crazy about faith as he was, that volunteered their services as cooks. They finally got up to about, I think it was about 2,000 plus orphans that they were ministering to. All right. And I'm telling you, if you've never read it, it's a faith activating book, because it points us to the power of God. And so what happened was, they didn't have any food. And so they would pray. And by the way, these people that were involved in teaching this in the school there and helping out with the cooking and the meals and the children and things of that nature, do you know they had sold all their personal belongings to give to this ministry? Not only that, but listen, they gave even of their own income that they would be paid to help out with the things. Now this time, nobody had anything. And they sat down. George Mueller said, have all the children sit down at the tables, and we're going to sit down and we're going to thank the Lord for the food he's going to provide. And lo and behold, a knock comes on the door. And the baker says, listen, I've got an order. I don't remember exactly what happened with the order. And could you use this bread? Yes, and it was a lot of bread, and it fed all of the students. I don't know exactly how many he had, all the orphans at that time. And then a few moments later, the milkman, they had wagons, had broken the wheel. There was no way he was going to be able to deliver the milk. The milk was just going to spoil. Could you use it? I'd love for you to use it as opposed to it just spoiling. All the kids had milk and bread for that breakfast. Now listen. That was George Mueller. No, that was just a child of God. Amen. And God wants to do that in our lives, but we're going to have to exercise a little bit of faith to get along with God. I mean, God is watching. God is watching and wanting to bless, but are we even making the effort to daily petition God, or do we say, well, it must not be God's will? So here's what we do. Ready? Remember, as the story was being told about the fellow that had a friend come at midnight and he needed bread and he was in bed. And so the man just said, hey, listen, I got a friend that's come in. I need some bread. And the guy says, oh, listen, leave me alone. Me and my kids were already in bed. We're sleeping. Okay, see you later. Oh, no, this is what he did. Ready? He said, hey, my neighbor, my, no, no. And he never went. No, he went and he knocked and he told him and he kept at it. He said, I need bread. You know why? Listen, this man knew that his friend would care about him. Do you know God cares for us more than any earthly friend that we have? Do you know that God wants to amaze us with his amazing grace? But he's watching to see how persistent, how importunate our knock is going to be, and how much faith we have that God will answer. Now, God says in this particular place, he says, listen, I want you to know all you need to do in verse 20 is have as much faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Is your mustard seed seeking God sometime throughout the day? Faithfully. That's between you and the Lord. Faithfully. Spending maybe 15 or 30 minutes pursuing the Lord. And is your prayer time growing? God can only make it grow. Do you get caught up in prayer? Because Jesus did. Paul did. Daniel did. God's people that are being affected by the Lord will be enraptured in prayer because they'll be meeting with the Lord. Now, I will tell you this, and you know it. Sometimes it feels like your prayers may not be getting above the ceiling. You ever felt that way? But I want you to know something. That's just our feelings. God hears every word. Every word he hears. So listen to this. He says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. That means I'm willing to make a sacrifice, Lord. I will challenge this. If you've got a certain need, if you're praying for somebody's salvation, because we know that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, I think salvation is a desire to fulfill from the heart of God. So how about this? How about we say, you know what? I'm going to skip one meal. Maybe you can't skip it fully. Maybe you eat breakfast at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what? I won't have it till 8 o'clock. You don't have to die. You just have to make an effort and say, Lord, I'm going to abstain for a few moments, and that allows me, as I think of my hunger, I'll think of why I'm hungering. I am praying for somebody's salvation, and I'm giving this as an offering unto the Lord, denying myself. Isn't that what the Lord said? Denying, we have to, if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to deny ourselves. Now, this is if we really want to be serious about God enabling us to say, nothing shall be impossible unto you. God will do it all, just like he's promised. All right, so when we consider about this taking place in our life, sometimes we have power in prayer, but not all power. God wants us to have all power in prayer. Isn't that what he said right here? Nothing shall be impossible to you. That's not one thing. That's not most things. That's nothing shall be impossible. Okay, go with me over to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, next book, chapter 11. Here are the points. I didn't give those to you earlier. Some power in prayer, but not all power. Which believers can have this power and why believers have no power? Okay? So the second point is, which believers can have this power? Can you take a guess in your mind? Which believers can have this power? Do you know what elite group this is? All right, the Lord's going to tell us what elite group this is, all right? Mark chapter 11, look at verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22, ready? And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Right? In fact, let's just back up a little bit just so that you know. Verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Remember, because there was no fruit on it? And Jesus cursed it. Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Just like you said. Is he not saying this like with a little bit of surprise? Man, Lord, just like you said it. Okay, now watch. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Why would he say that? You can do the same. Have faith in God. You can do the same. Now watch this. Verse 23, these are the believers, the special group of believers that can have this power. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, and aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, any one of you apostles alone can do this, but nobody else. Huh? Or how about just half of you can do it, but no, he said whosoever. When the Bible says, for whosoever shall believe on the Lord shall be saved, is that you and I? My goodness, would this be the same whosoever also? Amen. All right. So, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Isn't that amazing? Now, if I said that, you might say, that sounds a little blasphemous, Brother George, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself said it to the believers. So what are we going to do with that? It wasn't just for the apostles. Do we believe the word of God? Because I believe this is what shakes the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. The power and grace of God, as we display faith in the power and the grace of God, to call upon him to live his life and to work through you and I that he has purposed to glorify. Does the Lord Jesus Christ want to glorify himself through your life and mine? Have you read that somewhere before? It's in the Bible, isn't it? Well, how is he going to do it? Well, certainly not in my strength he's going to do it. Before I got saved, I couldn't glorify him in my strength. The Bible says my strength is sin before the Lord, mine. So guess what he gave me? Guess what he gave you? His righteousness and his strength. Not ours. We limit ourselves. I can't do that. You're absolutely right. But God can and wants to. Now, how committed and how serious are we about wanting to prove God in this matter? And this will be something for you personally to experience with God. Oh, and listen, you won't be able to hide it. Maybe you'll write an autobiography about all the answered prayer in your life. Wouldn't that be something? An autobiography by you to encourage the next generation of believers. Oh, by the way, the current generation could use it too. I need it. All right, ready? Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Isn't that amazing? Look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. This is why believers have no power. If we're holding and harboring ill will, and you've not forgiven, you should have a clean slate on your heart and mind. There is nobody that I'm angry with. There is nobody. And if you've been done wrong, you know what? God ought to give you that heart of forgiveness, and we ought to realize this. It's because either they don't have a relationship with the Lord, or it's not a good one if they have one. And I'm so thankful that God has given me what I have, because but for the grace of God, I could be just as bitter and just as sour as somebody without Christ or somebody with Christ that lives like they don't have Christ. Isn't that true? So if you see that, we shouldn't judge them. We ought to just say, thank you, God, that my heart, because I can get, how long will it take you to get sour and bitter? Right? It's just the truth. We're not putting on airs here. We all know the frailty of the flesh and the natural tendencies and the battles, right? Okay. Last thought. And we're not even going to turn there. Here it is. Ready? Why believers have no power. James 4:3, you know this. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. That means we haven't come to the place where we want everything to be for God. Let me say that again. That means we've come to the place in our relationship where we've not given everything to God. We've not given everything to God. We're keeping some things for ourselves. And we've put things in front of God. We fit God in if we have time. And so therefore the prayer altar may have not been visited for a while. The Bible may be collecting dust. And by the way, that's a good way to get started in prayer, is read the Word of God. Because that's where faith comes by, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so Jesus said some pretty plain things. He said, hey, listen, nothing shall be impossible unto you. If there is a contingency, there is a prerequisite. If you have enough faith to spend time with me, if you have enough time in your day to make time for the Creator who gave you life and gave you eternal life, how important is our God to us? Can we make some time, and are we putting Him first before all things? Do you know, you'll find this a surprise. The world and even some so-called Christians do not honor God. They'll put some things. The world does not honor God. Do you know the world has events on Sundays? Where should we be? At those events or in God's house? Where should we be? You know, sometimes people will have other events. Not just, you know, and they profess to be Christians. You know what really surprises me? You'll have Christian comedians have an event on Sunday. I don't think that's right. Especially if it's during church hours. What are we saying? Come admire me and let me entertain you, and you forsake the assembling of yourselves together? You know what? I promise you this. When people have events that interfere with the events of God concerning His church, and you tell them, I'm sorry, I can't be there because I'm going to church, they'll stop inviting you on church nights or church days. And they might, if they're kind enough, they might say, you know what, we better move that to Saturday or Friday because they go to church. Even those that supposedly profess, believe it or not, to know the Lord, and hold events and create events on the Lord's day. See, if God's not first and he's just kind of passing through, we're not displaying a lot of faith. I would dare say at minimum we ought to make sure that we are wanting to be in the presence of the Lord with his church that he died for, his bride, right? His bride. I would like to be part of the bride. Wouldn't you like to be part of the bride? Well, I think God knows if we really, really want to be part of the bride. We will, I mean, you know, I think of like, I won't mention any names, but you'll know. I think he wore white suits and had black hair, and all the girls went crazy over him. And man, my goodness, I think they'd kill each other to climb up and get so close. Well, I want you to know my Savior is more important and more worthwhile than any human being. Amen. People will act a fool in front of pop stars. And I'm not saying sports are wrong. If they take you out of God's house, I think it would be. And they go all crazy at sports events. And, you know, they act like a wild Comanche. But at church, you're like a wooden Indian. No moving. And so God says, where's our heart? Because if it's for God, we're going to open up his word. We're going to meet with him in prayer somewhere. And if he doesn't answer, we have the faith to believe because God said it. If you keep knocking, he said it, not me, I'll answer. Do you have the faith? You know, I've said stuff before about praying about things and believers can laugh at it. Well, I prayed. Have you prayed about it? I don't know about you, but I believe in prayer. Amen. And maybe there's people who profess to know Christ that really don't believe in prayer. And I would dare say they don't have a whole lot of things going on concerning their prayer life. And because they don't have a whole lot of things, God says, you come first and knock. And when I see the faith, I'm going to answer. And I'm going to leave the results of that faith with the Lord, whatever it might be. And that's an invitation from the Lord to you and I, if we want that from him. Do you want to hear the Lord answer prayer? Do you think that's a positive testimony in your life? Man, when they pray, I don't know if I believe in God, but my goodness, things happen in their life when they pray. They pray, and maybe they're not a believer, and they say, but my goodness, I'm seeing all these answers so many times, I'm starting to believe myself. I think that's the kind of witness and the kind of testimony that God gives to us that he wants his children to have for the world to see. And for you and I to enjoy. So God says, call on me until I answer. If you have enough faith. And if you lack faith, ask God who gives us everything that we need liberally. Don't you like that? Liberally. He doesn't hold anything back. We just need to take God at his word and let him work. I'm going to challenge you on something. Ready? Let's pray for revival at Northwood Baptist Church until we see it. Think that might be a good prayer? Wait, hold on to your hats. Ready? Let's pray for revival for Northwood Baptist Church, for revival every day until we see it. That's a challenge. With God, with a promise from the Lord that he said, I'll answer if you call on me. I think he wants to build his church. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And for the reminder of what you want to do with your church, us. Lord, move in our hearts and minds that we might not just let this word stay here in the pews, in the church house, but that we would take it with us and ask you to empower it, that we might walk in it, Lord. and enjoy it and experience what you have for us. Bless the rest of the evening, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.